The first reading, which will serve as the sermon text for today, from Numbers chapter 6. The Lord told Moses to speak to Aaron and to his sons and to tell them to bless the Israelites with these words: The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. In this way they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and his Holy Spirit, dear friends. We hear again the words from Numbers chapter 6. I'll read verses 22 and 23 at this time. The Lord told Moses to speak to Aaron and to his sons and to tell them to bless the Israelites with these words. This is the word of our God. And so we pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, what a day to gather and celebrate. We're wearing white because it is a festival today, the festival of the Holy Trinity, Trinity Sunday. What a day to gather. It was just a few short weeks ago that our confirmands were also dressed in white, sitting in these front two pews, and being encouraged to come back and hear the words of God again and grow in their faith. That was Mother's Day, a special day as well. At that service, I reminded those confirmands and all of us of the opportunities to continue to grow in knowledge about God. And I referenced this Sunday, Trinity Sunday, about our triune God, three in one. I made mention of that because of the text, the gospel text from that week, in which Jesus said, I and the Father are one. And I said, what a profound mystery. What does it mean when Jesus tells us that he and the Father are one? This is our God. One that always brings us back again to learn and to grow more in who he is and what he has done for us. And so I urge them to come back and hear about this mystery, which is ever rich and wonderful, with gospel application for us, even as we gather here to grow in it today. Here we are today on Trinity Sunday to address especially this mystery. And perhaps you're surprised then to see a text that doesn't make reference to the Trinity at all, at least not at first glance, no mention of a Father, no word of a Son, no word of a Holy Spirit, at least not explicitly. Nevertheless, in this Old Testament blessing, the Lord, who is the triune God, the only true God, provides us a window into the threefold nature of himself. In three verses, we see the special activity of all three persons of the Trinity at work for our salvation. May God bless us today as we hear these words on this Trinity Sunday with this theme in mind. Our triune God blesses us with providence, with grace, and with peace. We surely cannot divide our triune God into three separate beings. It's Deuteronomy 6 that makes this truth plain about God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Therefore, it is surely one God who provides for us, the Lord. It is one God who sets us apart as his own and redeems us as his special people, the Lord. It is one God who sanctifies us and gives us peace, the Lord. All the work of our triune God is accomplished by this one, the Lord. Nevertheless, as dangerous as it is for us to presume that there are three gods or three beings, it's at the same time equally dangerous, a false teaching, to believe that this triune God is but one person who just puts on three different masks or plays three different roles like an actor on stage. No, our one God is truly three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And while each person is truly God, and there is but one God, each person is distinct. Each person is unique. And it's God's clear word that tells us how we can identify and look at the specific work of our triune God and even the specific work of each person of the Trinity. While all three persons of the triune God were active at creation, we often assign that work to the person of God the Father. Likewise, he also continues to provide for me and preserves me with everything that I need. Jesus Christ himself expresses those truths in words that we heard just 3 weeks ago in the gospel lesson for Easter 6 when he said, "Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you." Our triune God provides for us. That's expressed in this first word of blessing that God spoke over his people, commanded Moses and Aaron and his sons to speak over the people. The Lord bless you and keep you. Yes, it is our Lord who provides us with everything that we need. Consider all of the blessings that you have from God. Your body and your life, your time and your abilities, your food and clothing and home and family and everything in this life is a blessing from the Lord. But there's so much more than just physical blessings. This includes all the things that I need, not just for my body, but for my soul. I have protection against the enemies that seek to destroy my life and my soul, trying to drag me to hell for all eternity. God keeps me from those enemies that threaten me with eternal damnation. Satan and sin, and even my own sinful flesh, from these enemies I am kept by my God who cares for so much for me as he blesses me. The Lord bless you and keep you. As I consider my relationship to this God who blesses me, I recognize how quickly I'm unworthy of such a blessing from him, because my sin does separate me from my heavenly Father. My sinful nature puts me on the side of being his enemy, not the recipient of his blessing. Satan has all too many accusations that he can rightly fire against me, too many claims that he can level against me, to which God, the righteous judge, should pronounce guilty as charged. But that demonstrates the profound need of this second verse of this blessing, the grace of our Lord to us. Without it, we would be condemned sinners. Yet with it, we are redeemed from that sin and shown a face from God that shines brightly upon us, rather than a face that scowls at us with the condemning law on account of our sinfulness. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. This blessing comes to us from our triune God very acutely in that second person of the Trinity, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God showed his undeserved love to us, his grace to us in this, that he became one with us. He took on our flesh as he appeared, the face of God in Jesus Christ, come into this earth to take upon himself that wrath of God the Father on account of all of our sins. And darkness was turned toward him as he cried out on the cross, "God, why have you forsaken me?" And there was no grace and no mercy for Jesus in that eternal torment of hell that he suffered upon the cross for us. And it was the righteous pronouncement of condemnation upon him, guilty as charged, from the Father, who turned his face away from his own dear Son, so that he could turn his face toward you and shine upon you with his grace. And oh, how I need this grace every day of my life. Not just one time in my life, but every single day. My sin compounds each day. I continue to struggle. I continue to battle against that sinful flesh each day. And too often I lose the fight. Too often I fail. Too often I fall and give reason for God to look at me with that threatening face of judgment. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Kids, you know that look from your parents. The one that just makes you melt and know that you've done wrong. That's what we deserve from our God every day. And those sins are more obvious and apparent. But what about those sins that we're not even aware of, that we don't even realize? To see and recognize the face that we should receive from our God, a sin particularly grievous that we're all too frequently guilty of, is taking this wonderful blessing of God, this abundant grace of God, for granted. And then we forget. We forget what a great blessing it is to have God's grace for us. We presume that we've earned God's favor by goodness, by right living. And we offend God and His holiness in the most profound way when we do this. When in our pride we fail to recognize the severity and constancy of our sins, we despise the depth of God's grace for us in Christ. That I do need that grace every day. Without it, I am a lost and condemned creature with nothing but the damnation of hell as my lot. And yet I have this grace of God. I have this grace of God in His blessing to me. I have it every day. And that I should rejoice with profound gratitude every day that this grace is mine. God, forgive me for my lack of appreciation for Your blessing upon me every day. Forgive me for my pride in thinking that I can survive even one single day on my own without Your gracious blessing to me in Christ. Lord, give me a hunger, a daily desire to hear Your gracious word of blessing to me again this day and every day. Let me never tire of knowing Your grace, of experiencing Your forgiveness of all of my sins each day in Jesus Christ, my Savior, my Redeemer. This naturally leads to the third verse of the profound blessing of our triune God. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. It was peace that was proclaimed to the world on the night that Jesus was born from those angels. It's peace that was proclaimed to the earth again when Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. This is the peace our triune God pours out upon us in this third word of blessing. Peace, one that surpasses all of our understanding. Peace. The thought that we are right with God, again, in spite of our sins. Peace. That a relationship with God, our Lord, is restored. This peace that comes to us through this second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, comes to us by virtue of that third person of the Trinity. How does the knowledge of peace become ours? How is that peace expressed and communicated, not just to our ears that we can hear it, but to our hearts, so that we can believe it? This is that work of the third person of the Trinity. Jesus again said from our gospel lesson for today, I still have many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. The truth. The truth of the heart knowledge that all our sins are forgiven in Christ, that we have peace with God the Father, that truth comes through God's Holy Spirit. He is the one at work silently, behind the scenes, but always active through simple words, but words that are so profound and so true. He works in simple works of water upon the head of in the name of the triune God. He works in a simple work of taste of a cup or the small wafer of bread, not to fill stomachs, but to fill hearts and to nourish heads with the knowledge, with the assurance, the joy and peace that we are right with God. God's face shines and lights up with joy at his believers who trust in his word. God's face is smiling, happy, delighted with his dear children through this work of the Holy Spirit. By this work of the Holy Spirit, we know that we have a God who is beaming with joy at us. The Lord look on us with favor. And so he smiles upon us as we come to his altar for the sacrament. He smiles on us not because we have come, but because of Christ, who has taken our sins away. And he smiles at us as we carry that newborn child to the font. He smiles at us not because of what we have done, but again because of Christ, who pours his peace upon us through that Holy Spirit. No, nothing that we have done for this peace. But that blessing is the blessing of God, the Holy Spirit, who has led us into all this truth. God's Holy Spirit, who has filled our hearts with faith in that peace. As we consider the work of our triune God in granting us his blessing, we find joy in the perfect unity of each person of the Trinity. And so today, as we look through this window in the blessing of our triune God, we rejoice in the certainty of him as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons, and yet one God, giving us blessing. But as we consider these words, this blessing from God to us, it's not some kind of wish that we have to pray for or hope to be true. It's the very nature of our God himself which provides us with the certainty about which he speaks upon us. So even though these verbs sometimes are expressed in a different mood, as some grammarians call them, giving them the sense of wishfulness or potentiality not yet realized, may God bless us. May God give his grace to us. May God grant us his peace. This isn't just a wish or a hope. It's a certainty. That is the assurance we receive from our triune God in the final verse of our text. In this way, they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. This blessing depends not upon us, but upon God. And this blessing depends on the faithful action of our triune God for us, not upon a wish of ours for him. You understand what God is saying? He says, grant my blessing. Communicate my words. Speak a wish and a hope and a prayer for the people. But then in this way, this wish, this hope, this prayer, it will assuredly be true. Because in this, I am placing my name upon my people. My triune God blesses me with these words. And so we rejoice this day as we celebrate our triune God in all his goodness and his faithfulness to his promises to bless me. Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen.